right, I'm going to try and get through this. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. I'm Michael Gross. I started this thing almost 34 years ago, and wrapping the radio into this thing up this coming November, if I make it that far. Man, I tell you what, it has been raining in West Central Florida, like where I live, like you would not believe. I mean, it is just raining like crazy. And I can no longer mow my lawn. I've had to hire that out. I've mentioned that on the show because I'm having this thing to where I get dehydrated very, very easily. Well, before that happened, I was doing what I call, I do the lawn mowing on Saturday. That's my number one main day lawnmower. Go out, mow the lawn, edge the lawn, use the everything, the weed eater, everything. Do all of that on Saturday. And then on Wednesday, I would give it the Wednesday mow, because just on front yard, because I just thought the yard looked better with a Wednesday mow. And plus, it made me happy. Well, I can't do the Wednesday mow. But this week, I mean, it's been raining like crazy. So I'm recording this tonight on a Thursday. Last night, it wasn't raining and it kind of dried out a little bit. And I said, all right, damn it, I'm going to go out and do a Wednesday mow of the front yard. I said, what could it hurt? I said, oh, I got to need to drink something. So I drank some water with this little powder stuff that goes in it that's supposed to have electrolytes and all this other stuff in it. And I swallowed that down. I went out there, started my mower. I mowed the area between my yard and my next door neighbor Al's. It's the smallest area of the yard. And then I started, I'm going to do the tree lawn area after that. I'm gonna knock that out. And I go to start that, and I'm looking at my skin, and I'm feeling terrible. I'm feeling lightheaded. I walk back up to the garage. I shut the mower off. I pushed it in the garage. I walked in the house. I pushed the button and closed the garage door. And I have this little thing that the nurse taught me, grab my skin on the arm and squeeze it. And if it pops back, I'm good. If it just stays there, I'm dehydrated. I squeeze a little just stuck there. I knew I was in trouble. I knew I was in deep trouble. So I went into the refrigerator, and lo and behold, there was a bottle of Gatorade. So I sat my fat behind on the sofa and put my feet up and drank this quart of Gatorade, just drank it on down. And it was kind of scary. I almost thought I needed to go to the hospital. I actually almost thought I needed an IV, but I didn't. Things started popping back and getting normal and all that good type of stuff. And then off I went. So today it rained all day. You ought to see my grass. By the time the Saturday mow comes, when the guy comes to do the Saturday mow, he's going to work his behind off, except for that one little section between mine and my next door neighbors, the small section, which I did. And you have no idea how I wanted to go out there just a little while ago and just mow it on down. I just want to go out there and say, this will take me 15 minutes at the most. I'm not going to edge. I'm not going to line trim. I'm just going to mow it. And I finally talked myself out of it. I did talk myself out of it. Plus, I've got a sore throat and I'm sneezing. What's going on? Is this a summer, cold? I don't know. And the best part of it all, I had a little tiny leak in my roof about a month and a half, 2 months ago. Hired this guy. Thought he did a wonderful job. Thought he did an absolute wonderful job. And then I looked, and after he had left and it rained again, I looked up, and my ex-wife, who was over, my favorite ex-wife, Diane, was over. There's three ex-wives, if you don't know. Anyway, she was over. She goes, that don't look like it. I said, and then I looked at it for a couple more days. I said, no, it actually looks like it's drying out. So it rained all day today. I left. I had to go to St. Petersburg. And then I went to have lunch with my son. And but the strangest thing, when I got home from lunch with my son, I walk in, and guess what? The popcorn part of the ceiling had fallen down right in that area. Now, the whole ceiling didn't fall down. There's like drywall in there, and I looked up, and the drywall's wet. I said, I guess he didn't fix the roof. What are we going to do about that? I said, you know what? I'm not going to deal with it today because I've just got too much on my plate. I've got to do radio. I got a bunch of stuff. I got laundry I got to do. And, I got to see about things, man. I just got to see about things. And if I can't, if I'm not going to be able to take care of my yard, why don't I go get a condo? You know, I mean, crying out loud, if I can't go out and take care of my yard, am I getting that old? I mean, ideally, what has to happen is this whole situation has to get fixed so that this isn't happening. And the doctor said it will probably fix itself. You have to have patience, and I don't have patience. I just don't have patience. I went to St. Pete today to look at a camphor tree, and the camphor tree was dead. And, you know, they paid me to go look at this tree and tell them that it was dead. I mean, it was DRT, dead right there. And I'm pretty expensive to get me to come out to the house. I'm not cheap. And I go out and I saw that it was dead, and I said, I better collect the money first. So I did. I said, oh, by the way, here's the invoice. It's not going to take, you know, over an hour. This is my minimum, is the 1 hour charge. Here it is. Oh, okay. And they hand me the little credit card, and I have the little thing on my phone, and I zipped it out, and then it was done. And they said, well, what can we do with my tree? I said, get a chainsaw. She goes, what? Get a chainsaw. Get a certified arborist to come out here and cut the thing down. She goes, why? I said, because it's dead. She goes, you can't bring it back? I said, no, it's dead. I am not a miracle worker. I'm just a guy. I can't. And she goes, well, you got to prove to me that it's dead. So I did. You know how you prove, you know how you know if a tree, you know, if you look at branches or even on a shrub and it's not looking good and leaves are falling out and starting to turn brown. Do you know how you tell if it's dead? I learned this a million years ago by a guy by the name of Garth Craig. He's gone to the great beyond now. Old farmer from North Carolina who I worked with in 1972. He was 65 years old in 1972. If he were still alive, how old would he be now? I don't know. Anyway, no mathematician on earth. Anyway, Mr. Craig, he said, call me Garth. No, I'm not going to call you Garth. I'm going to call you Mr. Craig because I'm 23 years old and you're 65, you know? No, I can't call you Garth. I'm going to call you Mr. Craig. He said, let me show you how you can tell, because we were looking at some hibiscus that were in bad shape. He goes, let me tell you how you tell if you can fix it. I said, okay. And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out. He goes, you have to do the quarter test. I said, really? He said, yep, you got to do the quarter test. He takes quarter out, and he goes out to the farthest dead-looking branch, and he grabs onto it, and he starts just gently rubbing the quarter back and forth on the branch. And if you see green, you get down just a little bit, almost to the cambium layer. If you see green, then that means that there's life. If you don't see green, if it just is just dead wood, it's dead wood. So then you start working your way back, and you see how far back you have to go until, you know, you start seeing life. And then when you do that, he used to take, I'm not going to tell you how he used to mark it because it's disgusting. It has to do with chewing tobacco. But anyway, you mark that area. I never marked it that way, but he marked it that way. And I thought that was just weird. But anyway, he marked it that way. And then after, you know, he'd go around, he'd see where this all was. And then he says, now we're going to prune this puppy. I said, what? He goes, we're going to prune it. So we would prune the shrub, just prune it on back. And then he would determine if there was any disease, if there was any fungus. If we determined that there was no fungus by doing some diagnosis and looking at it and looking at the leaves, and, you know, we come up with a different, you know, what is the reason that this is falling apart? And usually, just usually, it was nutritional. And Mr. Craig had a coffee can that he carried in his truck. And he says, you know what's in here? I said, what's in there, Mr. Craig? He goes, micronutrients. I said, oh. And he took, it was just a little powder. He'd just reach in and grab a handful of the little powder, and he'd just fling it on the soil, you know, just fling it on there. And he would do that. And then he would go, and he'd get a little bit of 666 fertilizer, just a little bit. And he'd throw that all along the area of the shrubs after, you know, he trimmed it all back and did that. He said, now we're going to come back in about 2 weeks and look at it and see how it looks. I said, okay. And the people are looking at us, you know, and he's charging the money for this. And so off we go. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, we go back and the hibiscus are looking good and all kinds of new growth. It's looking wonderful. The people thought he was wonderful. They said, what is that powder you put on there? He said, it's magic. Well, what is it? You're never going to tell you. I'm never, ever, ever going to tell you. I said, okay. You know, I knew what it was. He said it was micronutrients. Well, then, upon, you know, as time went on and I started, you know, I would work with Mr. Craig every so once in a while, because basically most of the time I was out fertilizing yards back then. But once in a while, I'd get to work with Mr. Craig, and one day, I found out what his micronutrients actually were. It was bone meal, which provided the calcium, and then there was a product out called Minor L, and he would take that, and he would mix it all together in his coffee can, and then he would use his hands to spread it, and then he'd reach into his pocket and grab chewing tobacco and put it in his mouth. That was so gross! You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. Amazon Echo just played me a Beatles song. I thought that was very nice of it, especially when I don't remember asking her to do it. So, is this thing like listening to me all the time? Does it now know what I think? Because I was thinking about that song. Maybe I did say so. I don't know. Man, what a drag it is getting old. You forget what you say. You don't remember what you think. And then you can't mow your lawn on a Wednesday. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. I'm Michael Kroos. I am the guy that started this whole thing almost 34 years ago, and it has been a rainy week, a very rainy. We don't have any tropical storms or anything, just a bunch of rain. So, you know, that's nice. That's nice, I guess. You know, I guess it's nice. And I guess it's nice. Went down and looked at a dead tree today. It was dead. Yeah, that was the highlight of my day is my son and his girlfriend took me to lunch at a bar on State Road 580 in the little town of Dunedin. It's called Norton's, and it is essentially a dive, but it is a really good dive because they've got, you know, surprisingly really good food, although their food is limited. Their food is, but what they have is very good because they've got to keep their food budget at 10% or below. Oh, my phone just made a noise. Let me shut my phone off and see why it's making noises. Here, Sarah, speaker's off. I don't edit. I just keep going. And anyway, they have to keep it at 10% of their food budget because this is one of the bars that lets people smoke in it. Now, in Florida, if you have a bar, you can let people smoke in a bar. I don't smoke. I never have, not even once. And I like the food in Norton's, and I'm one of these people, I don't care if you smoke. If you want to smoke, go ahead. Do whatever makes your heart sing. Just, you know, but I don't like laws saying that you can't smoke in a private business. That's just me. The McDonald's Corporation, years ago, before there were any laws, they said, no more smoking in our restaurants. And Burger King didn't do that right away. So I just went to McDonald's. And Burger King said, hey, you know, that's a pretty good idea. I think we're going to do that. And, you know, and if they want to do it, that's fine. But I don't want the government saying, hey, you can't smoke in there. Because the next thing you know, the government's going to say, you can't sell those soda pops because it's got too much sugar in it. Leave me alone. Let me do what I want to do. Come on. Leave me alone. Damn it. Anyway, so what am I going off on that for? Anyway, I went there and I had lunch. I had a patty melt with no onions and some delicious fries. I only ate half the fries. I'm trying to be good. And I had a wonderful conversation with my son and his girlfriend, his turtle dove. And it was very nice. It was just very, very pleasant. Then I had to go to the grocery store. And then I had to come home. And then I was going to mow the yard. You know, I was going to do the Thursday mow instead of the Wednesday mow. And I can't do either of them. I try, you know, I just, no, ain't going to work. I can't do any mows anymore. I got somebody mowing the yard for me. But I did look at the yard today, and with all this rain, I can just, you know, if I wanted to, I could take a chair, sit out on my driveway, and I could watch the grass grow. It is literally growing that fast with all this rain, plus the fact that I put a bunch of Milorganite on it. Backyard isn't growing as fast because I didn't put any Milorganite back there. But I put a lot of Milorganite on the front yard, and when the rains come, it just grows, and it's a nice dark green. It looks good. There, you can see that definite line between my yard and my neighbor's yards because mine's a darker, nicer green because I use the Milorganite on it. But the other thing is, mine's growing a lot faster than my next-door neighbor. The same guy that mows my next-door neighbor's yard mows my yard on the same day. And my yard is taller than his because of all the mineral organite that I've piled into my soil. Because once again, I did not fertilize the grass. I fed the soil. And this is something I learned a long time ago. Do not fertilize or feed a plant. Feed the soil. And if you concentrate on doing that, what does soil love? Soil loves biologic materials. Soil likes things that biodegrade into it and make the soil nicer and healthier. And if you concentrate on doing that, then you're going to have nice plants. I used to use chemical fertilizers all the time for years and years and years. And then I just, I don't know, in my old age, I started using organic fertilizers that would do weird things to the soil, like make it better, make it, you know, more loamy, make it just, you know, wonderful soil. And I started concentrating on that. Learned that about, I learned it late in life. I learned it about 15 years ago. You know, and I started talking about it on the radio, and here I was talking about it, but I wasn't doing it. But I talked to people about people who did do it. And I said, yeah, they're getting results and all this. I mean, I tried organic stuff 20 years ago and threw my hands up in the air, went back to the chemical fertilizers. And my yards looked really good, but if they stopped my service, they looked terrible. They just, in no time at all. To whereas now, going 100% organic, lawns look nice all the time. You know why? Because I'm treating the soil. Same with all my shrubs. Same with veggies. Same with trees. You work on the soil. You make delicious soil, and you will have delicious plants. That's a fact, Jack. I'm just here to tell you. You know, I am just here to tell you to concentrate on the soil. I remember in the 80s having Rob Ringer of Ringer Lawn Restore. He's no longer with them, by the way. They sold out. But having him come on, and he told me, Michael, if you use Ringer Lawn Restore on your yard, he said, you will have much better soil, and you will have a much better yard. And I said, all right, I'm going to try it. So he sent me a bunch of Ringer Lawn Restore things for free, one of the benefits of being on the radio. And so he sent it to me. He says, I'm dying to see. I took before pictures. This is my house in Tarpon Springs. And I only did my front yard because I had a very large backyard, and I had nursery stuff going on back there. And all. So I only did the front yard, which was about, 4,000 square feet or less, 3,500 square feet. I just did that. And I put it down. And he says, you're going to put this product down twice a year. And at the beginning of the summer, you're going to put this other one down. And it's all organic. And I said, okay. I had, 6 months in, I had the worst looking lawn on my street. And I'm calling him, Rob, what's going on? He goes, I know. He goes, you got sandy soil. He said, we tell all our people, even up north where they have better soil, that the yard is not going to look good until next year. And I said, I'm losing patience. He said, don't lose patience. He says, just give it a try. I said, okay. Then he sent me some neem oil. He sent me some neem oil for insects. And I had some ligustrums that had spider mites. And I used the neem oil on it. And the neem oil that he sent me burned the heck out of the ligustrums, just fried them. I said, well, I guess I'm not using that organic product anymore. I told him about it. He offered to replace my shrubs. I said, no, they're growing back. Don't worry. Don't worry. Be happy. It'll be fine. Everything will be good. So, but anyway, I stuck it out until the next year on the Ringer Lawn Restore. And in the fall, I put it down. Yard still looked horrible. I said, oh, man. And then spring comes. Spring comes early in Florida. And I put it down again, as he directed. And I got to tell you, about 2 months later, I looked at the yard. And the yard never looked as good as it looked then. I said, whoa, are you kidding me? This is wonderful. And then, in the summertime, I put the summer formula down. It was great. You know how much that stuff cost? Because I went to buy it after that. Oh, my gosh. Sticker shock. I would appreciate your input on this. I absolutely love it when you give me input on something. Do you have solar in your house? No, this is not a commercial for solar. Trust me, it's not. Probably just the opposite. Do you have it in your house? Is it working out well for you? You know, when you drive by your house, you look up on the roof and you see all these solar panels. I'm starting to see it all around, okay? And I sat there and I had questions in my mind. All right, I've got a close family relative I will not name. And the close family relative has a girlfriend of another close family relative. And they are working for one of these solar companies. One of these people who want to come out to your house and do all of this. And I was asked as a favor. By the way, I do not let salesmen in my house. I just don't. I have in the past, and I have learned. I remember, man, when I first got married, first time in 1973, lived in a one-bedroom apartment. And this guy, you know, the then Mrs. Gross got a postcard in the mail. If you let these people, you know, come in from some safety corporation and give you an important demonstration on how to keep safe, you got two free movie tickets. And we're young, you know, we didn't have a lot of money, we had two free movie tickets. So, you know, this young guy comes in, long before there were cell phones, and tries to sell us heat alarms. Not smoke alarms, heat alarms. These little things that he hung on the wall, and if, you know, if a fire broke out and it reached a certain temperature, this thing would like go off and make a bunch of noise and we'd wake up and get out of the house. And in 1973, to do our one bedroom apartment, you had to have one of those in the bedroom, one of those in the living room, and one of those in the kitchen, and another one on the back porch. I don't know why. And it was going to cost us $600. And I said, no. And he started doing all this high pressure stuff. And I said, no, we're not interested. He said, well, before I give you your movie tickets, I've got to call my manager. So this young kid uses our phone, gets on our phone and calls his manager. And he says, well, I don't think Mr. Gross loves his wife because he's not, you know, going for this. And he had a briefcase sitting in the living room with one of these things in it, and a whole bunch of paperwork out. And he had it all over my end table. And he's on my phone in the kitchen, and he's telling them, and you know they're going to want to put the manager on the phone with me. And my wife's looking at me, and you know I heard him say, "You don't love your wife well enough to do this." He's telling the manager. He said, "I don't think Mr. Gross loves his wife enough." I went, and I grabbed all of his stuff, and I jammed it into his briefcase. I couldn't even close his briefcase. I took it half open, folded, and I threw it out my front door. And I went over, and that guy's on the phone. He goes, oh, he's coming. He's going to grab me. He's going to grab me. And I grabbed him, and I took the phone out of his hand. I said, the guy's name was Jamie or something. I said, Jamie's leaving now. And I hung up the phone, and I threw Jamie out the front door. And my wife was looking at me like, what are you doing? I said, I'm just done. You know, don't come in here. And, you know, it's $600 for we paid $125 a month rent for that apartment. And he wanted me to spend $600. At the time, I'll see, how much money was I making then? I was making $2.90 an hour, which was good wages in those days. That was pretty good wages in Florida for those days. But not enough to spend $600, easy monthly payments. Anyway, so I just don't have salespeople in the house. But because I'm nice, I let this woman come to the house. You know, she came to the house. And she's saying, well, how much is your electric bill? Well, I'm very proud of my electric bill. I have an 1,125 square foot house. I don't have the new and fancy windows, but I do have really good window coverings. Really, really, really good window coverings. Okay. And I keep in the summertime, I keep my thermostat set at 78. And if you walk into my house is very well insulated. You go up in the attic and there's like tons of insulation up there. And if you walk into my house, it's very comfortable. Plus, I have a Dyson fan, one of those really cool, very expensive Dyson fans in my living room. I've got ceiling fans in my bedroom, but I got this Dyson fan in my living room and it oscillates back and forth. And it is just so cool and so nice. So this last month, because my son was here and my daughter was here a lot, and they kept adjusting my thermostat down, my electric bill went up to $175. Normally, it's at the high end in the summer, it's at $120, $130. She didn't like hearing that because, you know, other people have very high electric bills. But she's just, you know, she's working her craft. And she said, well, how would you like to have an electric bill of about $8 a month? I said, well, that's wonderful. She goes, yep, I can get that. This house, there's no reason. We put this system up on your roof. And by the way, no money out of your pocket to do this. And you get this benefit from the government and all kinds of stuff like that. And, you know, she showed me this little color photograph or, you know, and you know, President Trump is on it and all this. You're going to save, it's going to be good for the environment. And you're not going to be done with fossil fuel. I love fossil fuel. And, you know, all of this stuff. She's going on and on and on about that. And I said, okay, so what's it going to cost? Well, it's not going to cost you anything to have it put in. And you're going to be paying less than you were paying on your electric bill. I said, oh, really? So I said, I want to see raw numbers. I said, I want to. And she didn't want to give me raw numbers. She had all this paperwork out, and she just kept talking around the issues and talking around the issues. Finally, I pinned her down. Well, I didn't pin her down, but I pinned her down. And I said, how much is this going to cost? It was going to cost over a 16 or 18 year period, it was going to cost me around $30,000 for this stuff that's going up on the roof. Now, here's the interesting thing that I didn't know. We had a hurricane come through and knocked power out. I said, a hurricane comes through, knocked power out. I'm still going to have power, right? Because you got this stuff up on the roof. She said, no, you're tied into the grid. Your power will go out, your power will go out. Just the only way you can do that is if you have a battery system installed. I said, how much is the battery system? Well, the battery system, which would not last all that long, was about $30,000 more. I said, I don't want that. And she goes, but just think of the money you're going to be saving on electricity. And, you know, and I said, now, wait a minute. I said, I'm going to need a new roof here before terribly long. And you people are slapping that thing up there. She goes, oh, my boss tells me, and understand it's not in any of the paperwork. My boss tells me that we'll come and take it down one time for you and put it back up after they put the new roof on. I know, how nice of you. But it's not in any of the paperwork because I'm looking at the paperwork and I look at paperwork. But she said, you know, just, you know. And I sat there and I did it. And it turns out my monthly payments were going to be $270 a month for me to save my $120, $130, $140 electric bill and not get down to $8. I said, you see that this doesn't make sense. She goes, I don't believe that that's your electric bill. I said, this is my electric bill. I then says, come into my office where I went to where I have something called Quicken. And I popped up my Quicken account, and then there was all my electric bills on there for the last 3 years. I have low electric bills because I manage it well. You know, I shut lights off. I'm just that way. My mother used to yell at me when I was a kid, shut the light off, shut the light. And by the way, as far as the refrigerator is concerned, with my mom and my mom's house, the time you open up that refrigerator to reach in to get some lemonade out and close the door, you had approximately 1.5 seconds to get that done. And if you didn't get that done, she was yelling and screaming at you. So, you know, I don't leave my refrigerator door open for more than 2 seconds. To this day. And I remember yelling at my kids, yeah, shut that refrigerator door. And, you know, this is the way I was. But I don't have big electric bills. And I said, well, and she goes, oh, and the warranty on this, it has a 10-year warranty or a 10-year limited warranty. I said, oh, yeah. So in other words, I'm going to spend all this money with you. I'm now going to own this system. It's mine. And it has a warranty. But, you know, I don't know if you're going to go out of business next Tuesday at 4:00. I said, yeah, no, it's not going to work. It is absolutely not going to work. So my family member was very disappointed that, you know, the family member who recommended this young lady to come out to the house was very disappointed that I did not buy it. I said, did you buy it? And he says, well, no. I said, well, why didn't you buy it? He says, because I'm older than you. I said, yeah. And he says, I'm not going to live long enough to get the money back out of that thing. I said, well, you know, you're only 2 years older than me. How long am I going to live? You're right. I said, that reason alone, you know, maybe but no, I could find no. Am I wrong? Please tell me if I'm wrong. Michael.Kroes@gmail.com. Michael.Kroes@gmail.com. The best response, and you can even be mean, you know, it could be a mean good response. gets a free book. I got a bunch of them sitting over here. By the way, I gave away a book last week, and I was pretty impressed. Yeah, it was pretty impressed. Oh well, you're listening to Ask the Garden Geek. Welcome to Ask the Garden Geek. I am Michael Gross, and I have a 32-year-old daughter who so wants to garden. Now, she's been living out in Dodge City, Kansas, of all places, and now she's back here with my grandkids, and I just love the fact that I have these young. The oldest one is 7. That's Boodle Butt, and then there's Baby Boodle, who is 3, a little old, 3.5, cute as can be. And then there's Petunia, the granddaughter. And she is 2. And she is just so sweet. God, I love her so much. I love all of them so much. They come over and they climb all over me. I just absolutely love it. But my daughter wants to garden. She wanted me to come out to Kansas and help her grow a garden out there. And then all of a sudden, she's now living here. And she's living with the former Mrs. Kroos at their house. She wanted to live into this house, but I have a little house, and the former Mrs. Kroos has a big house. I know, because it used to be my house. And I said, no, you can go live with, you know, go live with Mom. But she's over there. But she wants to garden over here. And I said, yeah. Well, then about 3 weeks ago. She was here, 3.5 weeks ago. She goes, I got these seeds that I got from my good friend Susan. And I've talked to Susan on the phone before, and I've met Susan's daughter, who is, a friend of my daughter's. And, you know, Mom seems absolutely delightful. She goes, these seeds are really, really old, but they're heirloom seeds, and I don't know what they are, and I want to plant them. I said, okay. I said, you know, we can set some pots out. She goes, no. She goes, you got this section on the side of your yard that gets just, you know, a little tiny bit of sun. And it was mostly dirt out there. So she went out, and she just tossed them out there. And she took my little rake and just kind of raked over the top of them. I didn't think anything was going to grow. And so I just ignored it. I had other things to do. I just, you know, time went on. And then all of a sudden, you know, my daughter's 32. Of a certain age, as they say, as I'm sitting here tapping my fingers on the desk. I said, do I know what she planted in my backyard? You know, I just had this question I try to be a rule follower. I really do. And I don't want to plant anything in my backyard that's going to get me in trouble. So I said, I should go look at these and see. Because sure enough, I go out there and there's plants coming up. And I know how to identify plants. You know, I don't identify every plant, but I know how to identify certain plants that I'm worried about. And I went out there, and I'm looking at these plants. And I'm looking at and they did not look to be that kind of plant. You notice that kind of plant that I am not mentioning the name of? And I said, but are they? They're very small. Are they? So then I went on that internet thing, and I started looking up, you know, pictures of that particular plant when they're very young. I've seen them, you know, when they're big, but not when they're very young. I said, and I'm looking at those, and I said, are those it? You know, do I need to go out there with some Roundup and just spray everything? I mean, you know, what do I need to do? You know, I don't want to be doing anything illegal. I don't want to be doing anything that's illegal. It just really, you know, so I guess this was about a week ago when I'm thinking this. And I'm just, you know, I'm like nervous in my backyard. Nobody can see it back there. I'm just nervous. Then we're having all this rain. It's been raining every day for the last week. So tonight, before I came in here, I said, you know what? I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to look at them. And I'm just going to, you know, get some Roundup and I'm going to spray it. And I'm just going to tell her they didn't grow. You know, I mean, I just didn't want to think about there being something bad out there. Well, I went out there, and as I rounded the corner, they were more than knee high. They were tall. And guess what? Guess what they were? They were not that plant that I was thinking about. They were sunflowers. Yeah, sunflowers. Now, I never really paid attention to the seed. If I'd have seen the seed, I'd have known what they were. But they were sunflowers. And they're just sitting out there. They don't look all that good. And so I said, okay, well, that's good. And I had an open bag of milorganite in my garage, and I went and took a scoop of milorganite, and I went out there and I sprinkled the milorganite in the soil all the way around them really, really well, just to help them along. Nice organic fertilizer. And they turned out to be, you know, and here I am thinking all these bad thoughts, right? You know, questioning things. Oh, man, drives me crazy. I wished I, you know, and if had I looked at the seeds, I would have known. But I didn't look at the seeds. She said, oh, I got these old seeds. And I said, oh. And I don't know, I was too busy to look at the seeds. I said, you know, they're that old. She goes, they're years old. They're years and years and years old. They're sunflowers. So I'm going to have about, I don't know, looks like 8 or 9 sunflowers growing out in the side of my yard. Well, they're growing out in the side of my yards. And before you know it, I'm going to have sunflowers out there. So that'll be pleasant to go out and look at. I enjoy going out and looking at pleasant things like that. When my son Zach was, I don't know, 2, I went out and planted sunflowers in the backyard. That was our project. He and I went out and planted sunflowers in the backyard, and it was his job to take the watering can over and water them every day, and he did it. He was soaked, and they grew. Sunflowers grow real fast. And then all of a sudden, there was the sunflowers, and he was so delighted that he had, I think we had 5 sunflowers out there. He was just so, and the Mrs. Crost at the time could not wait for them to get big because she wanted to eat sunflower seeds. I never liked sunflower seeds. My brother loved sunflower seeds. My sister loved sunflower. I never liked them. But she could not wait until they got big. And sure enough, she took them out, dried them, and then added a little salt to them and, you know, dried them all out. And she'd sit there and chew on sunflower seeds. So then my next oldest son, Jamie, which chewing on Zach never wanted to chew on the sunflower seeds. But yeah, that was fun. So now we'll have a bunch of them. So the grandkids can now come over and go out in the backyard and look at the sunflowers. Won't that be pleasant? I just love growing plants with kids. I think it's a good thing to do. It's a lot of fun and it's easy. I mean, well, this was done with virtually no help from me. And I didn't go back there and water anything. I just ignored the whole thing. I pretended like it didn't exist. And she just threw it out in a section, you know, that was just bare dirt because it never got enough sunshine. And just threw it out there and then raked it over a little bit. And sure enough, they grew. So planting things is fun. Gardening is fun. It's a de-stressor. It gets rid of all that jumbled up stuff in your brain. You go out, you dig in the dirt, you plant stuff, you watch it grow, and it makes you happy. You know, I like sitting out in the backyard watching things grow. You're listening to Ask the Garden Geek.